Lord, that is our prayer this morning, that you would reign in us. Lord, our desire is that you would be our Lord and our Savior, and that you would reign supreme. Lord, we ask as we open your word that you would speak to us through it, and that we would leave this place changed because we have been under the teaching and instruction of your Holy Scriptures. In the name of Christ that we pray. Amen. At times, things that happen in our lives can hold us back. Sometimes we experience situations or we go through circumstances that weaken and or discourage us. Sometimes we go through situations that rob our peace and attempt to make us lose sight of the solution. In other words, circumstances or situations that make us question God's purpose. Often this happens to us because many of us have not fully experienced God's presence in our life. Why haven't we fully experienced God's presence in our life? Well, we haven't fully experienced God's presence in our life often because we haven't been actively seeking it. In other words, we only seek God's presence when we find ourselves in tight spots or when we want something. Why do we act this way? We act this way because we haven't become completely convinced that God's presence is the only thing that can strengthen and help us overcome the obstacles that arise. So the question that we must ask is, how should we seek God's presence in our life? And that's what brings us to this morning's passage. So this morning we'll be in Exodus 33, and we'll be looking at verses 12 through 23. So if you want to turn and join me there in Exodus chapter 33, we'll be looking at the second half of the chapter, verses 12 through 23. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people, unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you, and I know you by name." Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." This is God's word. So this morning we will be speaking about Moses and the glory of God. And just to remind you in context where we are and how we reached this point in the history of Israel, back in May, we studied in Exodus 32, the episode involving the golden calf, when Moses was so long on the mountain, when he was spending time with the Lord, receiving the word of God, that the people grew faint of heart, and they rebelled, and they melted down their jewelry, and they created a golden calf, which they began to worship. And the Lord was very displeased, and he sent Moses back down the mountain to deal with them. And of course, we know that the Levites stepped forward and were involved in exacting justice that day, and many died, and there was a plague, and others suffered. And that brought us 2 weeks ago to Exodus 33, and we read the first 11 verses, and there we learned about how the children of Israel were very upset when it says they mourned when they heard the distressing words that the Lord did not plan to go up with them. He said he would send his angel, but that he was so upset with them that if he were to accompany them on the journey, that his words were that he just might destroy them along the way. And then we also read how Moses would go to a tent which was pitched outside of the camp, and that he would spend time with the Lord. And any time that the Lord would encamp there, it would be surrounded by a cloud. And the people had great reverence. When Moses would go out to meet with the Lord in that tent, they would stand at the entrance to their tents, and they would watch him pass by. And then there was that interesting ending to our passage, which we had 2 weeks ago, which was even when Moses would leave the tent and go back to the camp, his aide, Joshua, the son of Nun, would not leave the tent. So we know that Joshua really wanted to be in God's presence. And so that brings us this morning to verses 12 to 18, where Moses asks for reassurance. As the time approached for Moses to take up the lead of the Israelites, he was concerned as to the identity of the companion that God had promised. He believed that, as it was stated in verse 2 of chapter 33, where God said, "I will send an angel," Moses was concerned that a mere angel was no substitute for the presence of God. He appealed to God. He reminded God what he had said, God had said to Moses previously, and Moses said, "You've told me that I know you by name," and that's in verse 12, and that's tantamount to saying, "I have chosen you," or "I have selected you." In verses 12 through 17, we see six uses of the Hebrew verb yada, which means to know or to teach. It appears as teach, 5 times it appears as to know. You see that in verse 12, "Let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name." In verse 13, "Teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you." In verse 16, it says, "How will anyone know that you are pleased with me?" In verse 17, it says, "And I will know you by name." So Moses is appealing to God on the basis of his relationship, and he's saying, "You chose me," and he asks him to continue to be with him. And he asks the Lord for a demonstration of his love so that he might know and serve him better. And the Lord responds by promising, he calls it his presence. The Hebrew is panim, which literally means my face. He says, "My face will go with you." With this, the Lord reinstates the angel of his presence in whom he had invested his name. And we read this 2 weeks ago, and it comes from earlier in Exodus, in chapter 23, where God had said, "See, I am sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way and to bring you to the place I have prepared. Pay attention to him and listen to what he says. Do not rebel against him. He will not forgive your rebellion, since my name is in him." So here we have a promise that God says, "My presence, panim, my face, will go with you." And then still in that section of 12 to 18, we see that Moses appealed to God not to send the people out with his presence, for he knew that God's presence was essential to Israel's testimony before the world. Because without God's presence, they would be indistinguishable from the rest of the world. This seems to be the response that the Lord was looking for, because he told Moses that it would be done as he had requested. But we see in verse 18, Moses asks for one other thing. He desires to see God's glory. And that brings us to verses 19 through 23, where we read about the presence of the Lord. In response to Moses' request to see God's glory, God said that he would cause all of his goodness to pass before Moses. By goodness, the Hebrew tov means his whole character and nature. A further aspect of the revelation of God's glory was the proclamation of his name. The name of God includes his nature, his character, his person, his doctrine, and standards of living. And some of you may remember several years ago, our pastor did a series on the names of God. There are posters that are available with the names of God. There's a specific one just with the names of Christ, but there's one with the names of God specifically overarching the entire scriptures. In this context, his name includes his mercy, that is, his grace. It includes his compassion. And that word compassion, the Hebrew is raham, which literally means womb or bowels, a deep-seated feeling. In fact, Romans 9:15 quotes from this section of Scripture and applies it to the sovereignty of God. However, the one restriction that the Lord gave was that the Lord insisted that Moses would not be able to see the Lord's face. In fact, in verse 20, it says, "No one may see me and live." And so this is a little bit hard to understand in the context of this chapter, and I actually had folks who asked me about this 2 weeks ago, because when we read about the tent of meeting and how Moses would go out there, it said that the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. So we understand that when he was in this tent of meeting, that he was not truly seeing God's physical face, because God says, "No one can see my face and live." So we know that he was in God's presence. And I think that's part of what motivates Moses. He is experiencing God's presence in a physical and a metaphysical and a spiritual way as he goes out to the tent of meeting, as the cloud descends upon the tent. And so that's why he appeals to God and says, "We can't go unless your presence goes with us." Because Moses had truly experienced the presence of God. So this is very similar to what happens later on in 1 Kings when the Lord appeared to Elijah. And in 1 Kings 19 we read, "And the word of the Lord came to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' He replied, 'I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are going to kill me too.' The Lord said, 'Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by.' Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave." So we understand that these theophanies, these appearances of God manifesting his glory to his servants, is a powerful, powerful image. And it's not something that is done lightly, but there is this mystery between him talking about speaking face to face with Moses, and yet when Moses asks for to be able to see his glory, God says, "You can't see my face. You'll be able to see my back, but you can't see my face." So that's why, to see God's glory, Moses was told to stand on a rock, and when the glory would pass by, Moses would be hid in the cleft of the rock and covered by the Lord's hand. What a powerful image, that the Lord would be covering Moses, protecting him with his hand. And then the hand of God would remove so that Moses would see God's back. Of course, we know hand and back are anthropomorphisms, descriptions of God's reality in terms that are understandable to men. And we will actually see this encounter that God is promising, where he explains, "I'm going to cover you with my hand, and then you'll be able to see my back. We're going to see that next week when we study Exodus chapter 34. So remember to come back next week. But the first thing that we saw in today's passage is that Moses tells God, "If I have found grace in your sight, show me your way, that I may know you, that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people." What we're seeing here is part of the conversation that Moses had with God. That is Moses' prayer. And key words here are, "Show me now your way." They're key words because most of us seek God only when we find ourselves in a tight spot or when we want something. What do? What we do is immediately seek God to have Him solve our difficulty or to fulfill our want. We are constantly coming before God's presence, asking Him to intervene in whatever's happening with us, when in reality, this is not what we should be doing. Now, I'm not implying that we shouldn't ask God to help us at certain times, for as we know, God is attentive to our prayers and wants to help us. This is something that is extremely clear in the words of the Lord, as found in Matthew 7, when we read, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." But what I am saying is that we shouldn't just form the habit of only seeking God during difficult times or when we want something. Our prayers must be to seek more than just a simple solution. What we should constantly be seeking is God's presence in our life. We must constantly seek God's presence in our life because God's presence is what will change us from just being mediocre to being a believer with a purpose. God's presence in our life will change the way we see the church. God's presence in our life will strengthen us so that we may be able to change and be the way God wants us to be. God's presence in our life will help us in our walk, which will result in a dramatic change in our testimony. And that's exactly what Moses was talking about. He said, if your presence doesn't go with us, people aren't going to be able to recognize that we're different from them. Moses recognized that God's presence in their life and the change that would be evident was what would make the difference so that people would know that God was with them and that He had called them. In other words, God's presence in our life will produce a change in us, a change that the world will not be able to ignore. The world won't be able to ignore that change that God's presence in our life produces because God's presence will produce with us rest and will strengthen us to overcome problems and adversities. It's like the Lord tells us in John 16:33 when we read, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And the words of Paul in Philippians 4, when we read, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." We have to go above and beyond a casual relationship with God. We have to truly reach God's presence. Well, how do we seek God's presence? We know from today's passage, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. As human beings, we all have internal struggles, and these internal struggles at times cause us to distance ourselves from God. All of us continually fight or struggle with emotions, feelings, impulses, desires, and ambitions. And I'm not saying that these feelings and desires are bad. However, some of them are not edifying to God. We must be very careful that these wishes or desires don't lead us to become stiff-necked or hard-hearted people. Because if you remember from the beginning of Exodus 33, 2 weeks ago, that was the word that the Lord described the Israelites as, that they were stiff-necked. And we certainly don't want that to be how God views us. So how can we avoid being separated from God's presence? We can do what God had, what we see Moses doing where he said, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. This is how we should seek God's presence in our life. We must say to him, all I want is your presence in my life. We should stop looking for material things and start looking to him for spiritual things. This is something that is clearly explained in Matthew 6 when we read, but first, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, when was the last time that you just prayed and asked only for God's presence? When was the last time that we prayed without any other agenda or request? When was the last time that we said, Father, all I want is your presence in my life? If we are honest with ourselves, the majority of us will recognize that this is something that we rarely, if ever, have done. And this is why we must begin praying, saying, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. In other words, say to him, Lord, I don't want to be anywhere that you are not. Say to him, Father, all I seek is your presence and nothing else. Say to him, Lord, I don't want prosperity or wealth. All I want is your presence. And as you're seeking him, and as you seek to be in his presence, you need to make a plan. Clearly, Moses' plan began with prayer, and that was him talking to God. It involves scripture. Moses was quoting the words of God to him when he was making his prayer requests. For us, it involves study, and that would be not only individual study of the scriptures, but also corporate study of the scriptures, being in a small group, or sitting under the teaching of the word on a Sunday or a Wednesday night. And of course, we know from the context of this chapter that being in the presence of God involves worship. And that's why it's important for us to seek God and to be in his presence and to experience his fullness. It's not just a Sunday morning thing for an hour. This is the way he has called us to be in relationship with him. Just as God's people back at this time in our passage felt the separation of his presence in their life, when they heard he wasn't going with them, they were mourning. They took off their ornaments, their jewelry. They were in a state of mourning. If we don't actively seek his presence in our life, then we risk also being distant from our Heavenly Father. So in conclusion, let's never forget that seeking and obtaining God's presence in our life strengthens us in difficult times. Seeking and obtaining God's presence in our life gives us the victory every time. In Psalm 114 we read, tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. The believer in Christ that actively seeks God's presence in their life experiences a new spiritual level. And they and their family experience the strength that only God can give. We read in Psalm 28, the Lord is their strength, and he is the saving refuge of his anointed. And we know that if we call on the name of Christ as our Savior, that in Hebrews it says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance of faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. In Hebrews we know that because of the blood of Christ, if we are in relationship with him, we have confidence to enter into God's presence, the most holy place. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, that is our prayer this morning. We echo the words of Moses. If your presence does not go with us. We do not want to leave this place. So our prayer this morning is that we would be in your presence. Lord, that it wouldn't just be something in a physical spot of being here gathered together on High Street, but Lord, that we would sense and experience and bask in your presence as we go throughout our week. That as we seek you through your scriptures, as we speak to you through prayer, as we are in fellowship with other believers, and Lord, as we worship you with our lives and also in song, Lord, that your presence would go with us, and that that would be the distinguishing feature, and that people would know that we are yours because your presence is on us. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.